too hot for this time of year, pushing into the 90s. Well, we'll get through it. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030. Tucson's intelligent voice on this Friday, the middle of March, March 15th, 2013. Hope you're looking forward to a great weekend, lots of activities. This weekend, of course, including St. Patrick's Day on Sunday. I am Bill Buckmaster, and we thank you for choosing the Buckmaster Show. We are live here Monday through Friday. We stream our show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and we make it easy for you to hear the program on your schedule as we post the program again to my website, tucsoncitizen.com and tucsonsentinel.com. Also links on the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun homepage and on blogforarizona.com. Our Friday Focus interview today with Roberto Villasenor. He is the chief of the Tucson Police Department. Joining me to question the chief is Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer for the Arizona Daily Star. If you have a question or comment for Chief Villasenor, call us on the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. Sarah, how are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
You're trying to stay cool?
Yes, it's too early for this. We have a desert tortoise, and I'm wondering if she's going to wake up out of hibernation early and then have to go back to sleep because it's going to cool down.
Well, the snakes are out. My neighbor informs me, Chief, that the rattlesnakes are out already.
Yeah, I keep a close watch on that around my house, too. We've had some surprises from them in the past.
Well, welcome to the program again. It's always good to see you, and we have talked, as we talked last time you were on, about at that time this trend of decreasing crime really nationwide over the last decade or so. Now, unfortunately, I understand you are hearing from your colleagues in major cities around the country that this cyclical cycle is now going north.
Unfortunately, that's true. We've experienced 10 or 12 years of downward cycling crime numbers, and that's been unprecedented. And I think that there's a variety of issues, including increased technology, communication capabilities of our citizenry, a variety of reasons that have driven that down, including community policing efforts. But like all good things, you can't expect that to continue forever. And then when you also factor in the issues of everyone has suffered from the economy, everyone has cut down staffing, everyone has tried to do more with less, you can only do that so long before the effect starts to show up in areas such as crime.
In a perfect world, how many more officers would you like to have on the street that would be what would be considered for an average for a size city of Tucson's?
A perfect world? Careful what you ask.
Yeah.
If we were to get to what, at one point, let's use some numbers that we've talked about in this community. At one point, council had adopted a goal to try and get to 2.4 officers per 1,000 residents. So then you would obviously think of an agency our size for a city of 500,000 people. So just do the math there, and you're going to be talking about 1,400 employees, 1,400 peace officers. Our highest staffing we ever got to was 1,113, and that was back in 2008, 2009. I'm currently budgeted 998, including 75 grant-funded positions. My current staffing level is probably at about 960, 970.
So you subtract what? You're down at least 140 officers.
I'm down 140 from where I used to be on our previous staffing, but I would say I'm probably down around 200 or 300 to get to the type of service that people would really like to have from the community. And our goal is trying to just educate the public that we really can't provide that level, and this is somewhat of our new normal, unfortunately.
Here's Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Star.
Speaking of staffing levels, school resource officers, police officers who are assigned to school campuses have been something that's come up, at least in talking about this whole idea of school safety. I know we had SRO officers in many schools. That's changed. And I wanted to get your thoughts on that and then the legislation that's up the road in Phoenix that's being considered.
Well, we go back almost to that comment of a perfect world. I would love to have an officer in every school. I think they provide value. I think they address the issue of relationships between future citizens and police. It helps to set a proper environment. They can educate, and they provide safety. But that program was eliminated probably about 4 or 5 years ago. It was just became too costly. We had almost 40 SROs throughout the city, but we were never funded for that particular function. We just, over the years, kept drawing them out of patrol. Well, as we started to get more and more calls for service for patrol, our staffing wasn't keeping up. We weren't able to respond to the calls. And so that was one of the early victims of the economic issue, in that we had to pull those officers, put them back into patrol. The legislation and the budgeting talks are going forward about funding some school resource officers on a state level is encouraging. But in reality, when you put it on a statewide competitive level, it's going to mean very little for each jurisdiction as to what they get.
What about the bills that would allow teachers, other staff members who have some level of training, I think it's 24 hours, be able to use a weapon on campus? Mm-hmm. Is that, to me, that sounds like a bad idea. I don't know, but I'm not a law enforcement professional. What are your thoughts?
In some ways, it concerns me greatly, because that just means more people that we're going to have to be cognizant of that may have weapons when we respond to an actual event at school. My officers, still, when they face this on a daily basis, it's quite different to sit there and in a pristine environment talk about, you know, if we have guns available for this person, when the issue comes up, they'll be able to handle it. When you have someone shooting at you and doing things of that nature, then it changes the environment and it makes it much more difficult than people perceive. On the other hand, there are some schools that are very, very secluded. There's some areas there where if a person is willing to go through the training and wants to do that, this may be their only alternative to provide some type of safety. So I see it as a local decision that each district, each community, each community needs to make the decision of this is what they want. For a parent, I'm not sure how I would feel about that, because I have seen some people that just because they want to do it doesn't mean that they should be carrying a gun inside the school. So there'd have to be very strict guidelines about maybe a weapon that's locked up but available in dire emergencies to a trained individual. I can see some common sense in that.
What about I think it's 24 hours of training is what's being talked about. How much, having been through this sort of training for, you know, your career, to me, that doesn't seem like a lot. Is that a number?
It depends what the training is going to be broken up into. As far as to familiarize themselves with the laws, use of deadly force, permissible uses of deadly force, that's probably enough for the classroom portion. But as far as the actual ability to handle the weapon, to shoot the weapon, to understand judgment scenarios, that may or may not be enough depending on the individual and their previous familiarity with guns. If it's an all-volunteer type program, I'm going to assume the people who would volunteer are probably going to be ones that already have that interest and that capability, so maybe it is. My biggest concern is there has to be continual training. We don't train our officers once and then say, okay, go forth forever now, you are able of handling this gun. We don't train enough within my agency, in my opinion, to keep the officers at their highest level, and we encourage them to get some training on their own. We have to think of the things of how many bullets do I have to buy? How much staffing time do I have to allocate to the training? How much time does that take away from the street? They're all economic drivers that affect our training amount. I would like to train my officers more, and I guarantee you ask any officer on my agency, they would like to receive more training. And we do this every day. To have people who do this on a part-time volunteer basis to get 24 hours at the beginning and not something else to continue, that kind of is alarming.
790-2040, 790-2040, a caller on the line who did not want to go on the air but has a question for the chief, and the question is, why has there been a spike, the caller believes, a huge spike in hit and runs in our city?
I don't know if there's a huge spike in hit and runs. I think it's been a problem that's out there. I am sure that the traffic is affected by the amount of construction, the amount of volume on the roads. There are so many factors that weigh into how traffic is affected. I don't know if I can pinpoint it down to one particular issue as to what affects our traffic accident rates.
I want to talk with you about your op-ed piece in the Arizona Daily Star earlier this year after the Newtown shooting, saying we are all responsible for our violent society. Why don't we pick up on that with Chief Villasenor after we take a break on our Friday Focus interview here on the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We'll be right back.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Row. Everybody who's anybody is here, aren't you?
This is John Fina.
You're...
This is Jim Levinsky.
I know that face.
I'm Bruce Peek.
Hey there.
This is Andy Brown.
Great to see you.
Hi, this is Bert Williams.
I thought I just saw you at...
This is Bob Schaff.
Thanks for coming.
My name is Jerry Fitzgerald.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see you.
This is Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
This is Rita Marshall.
I didn't know you were coming.
This is Bill Huss.
Can I get you anything?
Hi. Richard White.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party, too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Biosphere 1 is the world we live in. Biosphere 2 is an amazing reflection of Biosphere 1, a UA Science Innovation Center transforming, not conforming. Making ideas happen, like the massive new mountain slopes of the LEO project, which is reinventing Biosphere 2 into a remarkable enterprise for 21st century discovery and imagination. The impossible is possible. Biosphere 2 embraces the complexity about the future of the planet, developing and testing sustainability strategies essential for a better life. Become part of this center that is becoming the incredible new UA Biosphere 2. See why Time Life Books named it one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2, an inspiring adventure for visitors with guided behind-the-scene tours. Open daily, north of Tucson, America's Science City.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
The Rug Gallery is celebrating its 25th anniversary jubilee celebration with a colossal tent sale, offering up to 75% off at La Encantada Shopping Center at Campbell and Skyline in Tucson. With over 2,000 hand-woven imported rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. With an international reputation, the Rug Gallery has graced the cover of Christie's magazine and is featured in many other high-end publications. Stop by and check out the Rug Gallery with Arizona's largest in-stock inventory of fine, high-quality, hand-woven, imported rugs during the colossal tent sale with up to 75% off at Tucson's La Encantada Shopping Center in the foothills of the Catalinas. Or visit the Rug Gallery online at ruggalleryaz.com/sale or call 571-RUGS. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Pushing toward 1220 on the Friday Focus interview. Today's newsmaker interview is with the chief of the Tucson Police Department, Roberto Villasenor. With me in studio, joining in the questioning, is Sarah Garrett-Gasson, editorial writer of the Arizona Daily Star. And before the break, I said that I would pick up on your op-ed piece that was in the Star, basically saying we are all responsible for our violent society. This was written in the wake of the Newtown school shootings. You said we all need to take responsibility for the violent society that we have developed and not just try to find one scapegoat to blame. And you say this is simply not an issue of implementing gun control.
That's correct. I think that it is such a wide-encompassing issue, and the problem that I have with it is become so polarized in that any middle-of-the-road common-sense approach seems to have a much harder climb to get accepted. And as soon as you start talking about this subject, it raises such emotions on both sides of the spectrum. Actually, prior to coming here today, I had a meeting with Emily Nottingham, who many of you may know is the mother of Gabe Zimmerman, who was killed in the January 8th shooting. And we were talking about these issues, and she wanted some perspective of what I felt about the gun issue and how we're going there. And we talked about common sense just doesn't seem to have a place in this argument right now, and that's very frustrating. We always want to blame one thing or blame another thing, you know, assault weapons or this or that, but there's so many different facets that affect it, and I think we need to do a wide approach to it. Unfortunately, I think we are going to have to piecemeal it if we have any chance of doing anything, though.
Here's Sarah Garrett-Gasson of the Star.
I wanted to get your thoughts on the legislation at the federal level on straw purchasers, making it a more severe penalty.
Yes.
It's a felony if this legislation ends up getting approved, as I hope it does. But I was looking at Arizona's straw purchase, where you're buying a gun for someone who couldn't legally own one.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Because you're a prohibited purchaser. And I was shocked at how low the penalties are. It's one of them, it's a felony or a misdemeanor, and the other is a felony with like a year and a half sentence. So it made me wonder, how often are those kind of crimes charged in the when you're dealing with people and they get referred to for prosecution? How often are those laws even charged or enforced?
I don't really know the numbers of how often that is, and a lot of times that will fall under ATF jurisdiction. But part of the platform of the Major City Chiefs organization, which I belong to, is that we are lobbying for increased penalties for straw purchasers. It needs to be a deterrent there so that people who are prohibited possessors do not have a way of circumventing the restrictions that have been applied to them because of their previous misconduct or criminal misconduct. In addition to that, we also advocate for the universal background check, increased background checks, closing the loophole on gun shows. These are different things where people who don't have the right or should not have the right to own firearms are circumventing the systems put in place to prevent that, and we need to make those stronger and more strict and more of a punishment and a deterrent to prevent that.
Is that something that people who are going to commit a crime or give someone a gun or buy a gun for someone, is that something that if you're in the middle of committing a crime, are you going to think about the consequence?
Probably not. I you know, it's an educational campaign that we're also taking. You may have seen those bulletin boards around town, buy a gun for someone who doesn't get one, buy yourself 10 years.
Right.
So they're trying to talk about the consequences beforehand to let people know, you know, it may sound like an innocent request, but you have to think about the far-reaching effect of your actions. That goes in line with what you were talking about, Bill, is that we're all responsible, is that we can't help people to circumvent the order that has been put in place to try and control some of these issues.
In our effort to always answer or try to answer our listeners' questions, we have another listener who did not want to go on the air, but the question is about elder abuse. Is that something the police department gets involved in and investigates? And the caller wondered, how prevalent is it here in town?
Yes, it is something that we're involved in. In fact, we established an elder abuse unit a few years ago that at this point is kind of a shared responsibility with one of our criminal investigative sergeants and has a couple of detectives assigned, but they also work with fiduciary units and with social service units to help identify elder victims. A lot of this gears around fraud, but in addition to fraud, there's also physical elder abuse that we get involved in. We would like to put more resources towards that, particularly as the baby boomers, as we all start to get older, we become much more prolific targets for the people who would take advantage of this. So we see that, and in fact, nationwide studies have shown that this is going to be an increasing problem for law enforcement in the next decade and beyond, because our elderly population through better health care and just demographics is going to increase dramatically.
So it sounds like this is something you really take seriously.
Oh, absolutely. This is very much a victim class in the making.
Quick update on the Isabel Solis. Not quite sure how that's the right
Solis. Solis.
The kidnapping coming up, the year anniversary is the first week in April. You still have a detective that is assigned to the case.
That case is assigned to a detective. It unfortunately, there's not a lot of information coming in. It's constantly going back over what we have, seeing if any new information comes forward. But it's been almost a year now, unfortunately, with no new leads coming in for probably the past 6 or 7 months that have proven out to be credible or help us to solve this case. One of the most frustrating and disturbing cases that we've been involved with, particularly since I've been chief. It's absolutely been my most serious case, and I'm very upset that we have not solved that. I wish we could say that we had.
Very frustrating. Dan is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Dan has a question for the chief of the Tucson Police Department. Go ahead, Dan.
Yes, thank you. It's more of a comment. I have several children here in TUSD, and I can tell you that a lot of these teachers, a lot of these schools are have no respect for teaching the kids that they should not have respect, the proper amount of respect for police. And I think if we could have a policeman in most of these schools, that it would not only be a protective idea, but I think that policemen could teach the kids that the policemen are not monsters and are there to help people. And I would like to put my money into a policeman in those schools.
I agree with you, Dan. Go ahead, Chief.
Dan, I also agree that was one of the benefits that we received from the school resource officer program. It really came down to an issue of finances and economics. When I need officers to respond to the 911 calls and the calls for service, and that has to be our number one priority for those life-threatening situations. And when I don't have the resources, I have to pull them from the special assignments. And I fully agree with what you're saying. Unfortunately, we just can't afford that right now when we need officers to go to calls.
Here's Sarah Garrett-Gasson, who is going to work in a final question, probably. Only got about a minute and a half or so. Sarah?
Yes. I wanted to get back to the universal background checks. And Okay. Could you explain why that works? We talk a lot about and hear a lot about, you know, we need this. But why, from a law enforcement perspective, would this help?
Well, the universal background check and hopefully closing the loophole on gun shows purchases, because right now about 40 or 45%, I believe, of the statistic of guns are purchased through gun shows where there's no requirement for the background check. We have no clue who the individuals are who are buying these weapons. Have they been prohibited before? Do they have past history of behavior or actions that prohibit them from having a weapon? And the universal background check will help serve as a deterrent to prevent that. It's not overly intrusive that takes up a huge amount of time. In fact, one of the things I think maybe should be considered, we eliminated the waiting period a few years back, from my understanding, where I'm not sure that was a smart idea. You know, if someone needs to have a weapon, I can't understand that they need it that day. Maybe there's a chance to wait through, and that might cause some issues as well. But I do believe it will help us to find those people who shouldn't have a weapon and try and keep them out of the system that allows them to get it.
All right, we're going to wrap it up right there with Chief Villasenor, and we didn't get a chance to mention that you were at a private gathering with only five or six other law enforcement officers with the President of the United States. That was pretty exciting, huh?
It was a very unique experience. We all had a chance to provide our input to him, and we believe that he listened, and I was very honored to go there.
Thank you very much, Chief, and have a great weekend.
Try to
stay cool when you get out in the garden this weekend.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Sarah, stick around. We've got the Friday Reporters Roundtable coming up on the Buckmaster Show. With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Mitt Romney tells conservative activists meeting near Washington that he's sorry he will not be their president, but he's still promising to work shoulder to shoulder alongside them. State lawmakers in Maryland have voted to ban capital punishment in the state. Once a Democratic governor signs the bill, Maryland will be the 18th state to abolish the death penalty. North Dakota's state Senate has approved and sent to the governor a couple of pro-life bills representing the most stringent curbs on abortion in the country. The increased concern about North Korea is prompting the Obama administration to boost U.S. defenses along the West Coast. Officials say 14 interceptors will be added to a missile defense system based on that coast. Dow down 47 points. The NASDAQ is off 15. More details at srnnews.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Westin La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million resort rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and soon a new pool area and enhanced fine dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com.
Since 2006, the RTA has completed more than 500 projects, including 180 miles of bikeways and more than 50 bus pullouts. Current projects include La Cañada from Ina to River and the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars have created more than 2,500 road construction jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA is delivering our promise to you.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Karen, could you run to the supply closet for some trophy polish, please?
Do we have trophy polish?
Well, we better find out. See, I just called Cox Business to give our company faster internet and great phone service.
Oh, good.
They've got a J.D. Power and Associates Award, Karen, and they're going to be here any minute.
So you think they bring the award with them wherever they go?
Put it this way. If you were ranked highest in customer satisfaction, wouldn't you?
Maybe.
I just want to be prepared, Karen. I just want to be prepared.
Shine up your business with Cox Business. Ranked highest in customer satisfaction among data service providers for small and mid-sized businesses. Power your office in Phoenix with Cox Business and take advantage of our special offer. Bundle Cox Business internet and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today. It just makes sense. Visit coxbusiness.com for offer details. Offer valid until April 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Other restrictions apply. For J.D. Power and Associates award information, go to jdpower.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 12:37 on this Friday. A very warm weekend in store for us today. Looks like it's going to be in the close to the mid-90s. It is time for our Friday Reporters Roundtable featuring our local journalists who we invite to be on the program to talk about the week's top stories. And joining me today on the roundtable, Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer of the Arizona Daily Star. And we welcome for the first time on the roundtable, Dan Gibson, the editor of the Tucson Weekly. And if you have a comment or question on anything that comes up during our session today, call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. Dan, welcome to the program.
Pleasure to be here.
And you, of course, taking over as editor, Jimmy Bogle. Our friend Jimmy went over to the Coachella Valley, where he's doing very good things over there.
With great, actually.
Started kind of online, right? Are they going now to a hard copy paper as well? Did I read that?
He's ahead of schedule on print.
He is.
Yeah, he'll be in print sooner than he expected. So it's going great, swimmingly.
And the change for the folks that like to read the weekly, there's been very little visible change in editors, pretty much.
Jimmy did a great job setting things up. So we're trying to continue the path of what he set up. So.
All right. Well, welcome to the program. Sarah, I want to begin with the Mexican-American studies you had in your Thursday column. You had a column about all of this, and it was playing off the latest court ruling upholding the law that bars ethnic studies. And your column, ethnic studies can be taught in Arizona schools, and then parentheses, yeah, right.
Yeah. This was the bulk of the column is to kind of encompass the whole ethnic studies idea. I'm a very firm believer, and we need to talk about not just one version of history. We need, and this was the benefit of having the different ethnic studies programs, have a much more inclusive view of American history, world history, and because a lot gets left out. And so I went and I looked at the Arizona State Standards for Social Studies and American History, and the word Mexico or Mexican is in there a couple times. Hispanic is in there twice. And it's the kind of thing that if you can't teach specific courses, then let's look at what kids are being taught. And I just found it, you know, obviously lacking. But the reason I wrote about it was because U.S. District Judge Tashima came out with a ruling in the Mexican-American Studies lawsuit where teachers and a parent and I think a student said this law, 2281, HB 2281, violates constitutional rights. It prevents teachers from saying things. That's a First Amendment issue. It prevents students from saying things. That's a First Amendment issue. It prevents kids from hearing things. And unfortunately, the judge ruled, upheld the law in three out of the four provisions. The only one he struck down was the portion of the law that prohibits schools from teaching courses that are geared toward specific ethnic groups, saying basically that if you talk about, I mean, if everything else is okay, if you meet the other standards, then the fourth one is kind of irrelevant. And although he did take Attorney General Tom Horn to task and said that his single-minded quest to get rid of Mexican-American studies in TUSD was suggestive of discriminatory intent, but ultimately he found that the law itself was not discriminatory.
So, Dan, I'm confused about this. Do you think there will be then some kind of – the TUSD will craft some kind of a ethnic studies course?
I think that has to happen in some form. Now, the question is whether TUSD is going to be able to find some sort of compromise that makes anyone happy. I mean, that's not something they've been in generally the business of doing terribly well, at least in the recent past. So there really does need to be a space to say, to have that sort of instruction, to say, listen, we're going to look at history from this other perspective, that we're going to sort of examine things from multiple sides to tell the real tale through multiple perspectives of what really happened in this area and in the general American Southwest. So I think at least the way I was reading the ruling, it seems like it does leave at least some door for that to happen, but there's continually going to be this push back and forth. So I'm not optimistic that this is even close to over. I just feel like it's the beginning of another aspect of the story that just you closed a chapter maybe.
Yeah, TUSD is in a really difficult spot because they're required under their federal DSEG order, which was approved by a different federal judge, David Burry, to come up with culturally relevant courses that include things that weren't included before that were part of these Mexican-American studies courses. But even in that, because the district rightly said, you know, excuse us, we're probably going to get nailed to the wall again by superintendent, mm-hmm. you know, by
if
the state.
If they go that direction.
If they do yeah. that. And so the judge in the DSEG order said, well, you can, you know, the state is free to examine these courses and come up with a justification to, you know, a complaint or to go after them again if they see fit. So TUSD, I think, is really trying to work with the state to figure out what exactly it can and can't do, but I just have no confidence come election time that we're not going to end up in the same boat because this is a song that state officials like to sing and it gets them votes.
We have Sarah Garrett-Gasson with us and Dan Gibson is with us from the Tucson Weekly. Dan, I want to talk a little bit about, and Sarah and I were talking with the chief of police during our interview in the first half hour with Mark Kelly and his purchase of an AR-15 at a Tucson gun store earlier this week. Do you find this whole thing kind of curious?
Yeah, I mean, I'm inclined just based on Mark Kelly's history, you know, and his beliefs and just everything that I'm inclined to give him the benefit of the doubt. And obviously I imagine Sarah has as well. You see these like flood of people, public comment, like, mm-hmm. what are you going to do? What's happening? Why aren't you telling the story? And it's like, mm-hmm. I don't, he seems like a, I know he's a smart enough guy that he would have known that going into that place and doing making that purchase would be notable, that something was going to happen, that it wasn't going to be – that obviously somebody at Diamondback Police Supply, which is, I believe, where he purchased it, is going to notice – Mark Kelly, one of the most famous people in Arizona.
Unless it was his twin.
Right.
Right. Yeah. He was, I believe, in space.
Oh,
right.
Oh, he's in space. That was so he has a great alibi, right?
Right.
Right. Which I thought was going to be the first answer. Yeah. Just like, well, it's clearly it was my brother. The benefit of having a twin or the dismay. But I can't imagine applying some sort of sinister motive to him. Like, listen, he's going to buy this gun and he's going to hide it because he really wants this gun. And and I was on the John C. Scott show yesterday and someone was calling in and saying, well, clearly he's a military guy and he wants to own this gun because military guys do that. And that seems like a jump, like a jump I'm not willing to take. Now, does everything about Captain Kelly's story line up to me? Does it make sense? Mm-hmm. Well, no, it doesn't. It doesn't seem to add up. Like, there's a better way probably to make the public statement he was trying to make, or whether it's even necessary at all. Like, everyone knows you can buy a dangerous gun. That is no secret to any human being in Arizona. If you want a gun, you can get it. So I wish it were more clear. I think it muddles the conversation to some extent.
Sarah, what do you think?
Well, I do think from a public relations, just the way it looks, it probably wasn't the wisest move just because it does throw things into confusion unnecessarily. I think he was trying to show, look how easy it is to get one of these gigantic weapons that he has said, you know, are required on the battlefield but don't belong in on the street. So that really wasn't – I don't know if that was the smartest thing, just because it can be so easily twisted. But the other part of it, I think, is also it's not like Mark Kelly, who's, you know, all over the news, all over TV, can just waltz into a gun show and pretend to be someone with a criminal background and say, look, I can get a gun so easily. So I think it's blown out of proportion, and I think that it's a distraction. I think the gun lobby is trying to use it as a distraction to get away from the issues that we really need to be talking about, like the necessity for background checks and straw purchase legislation.
A caller who did not want to go on the air but wants to weigh in with Dan and Sarah, what do Che Guevara and other revolutionary icons have to do with the specific regional history of Southern Arizona? Comment from either of you?
Well, I think you talk about people who are important in the history of the United States, and he would be one who, in his country, Cuba, was very important, and that has a very interesting relationship with the United States, and it's still going on today. I don't think that that's – I don't think American history – I know we've talked about, you know, the history of this region in particular, but someone like Che Guevara, agree with him or not, and I don't, but he's someone who – was important and whose influence is still being felt today in our country.
We talk about Tocqueville. We talk about Machiavelli. We talk about all kinds of influences. The great thing about education is to try to piece together these different thoughts and these different thinkers and the history of great ideas and not so great ideas and put them together to make ideas for yourself. That's what the education I want for my own children in TUSD is to piece together great thoughts from all of history and make decisions from themselves. So I hope that they are challenged by difficult passages and difficult thinkers of history. And I think we all would want that for our children. I don't want to just hear a sanitized one-line version of American history.
That's Dan Gibson of The Weekly. Sarah Garrett-Gaston is here from The Star. It's our Friday Roundtable. The story that is emerging as the big story from this session of the Arizona Legislature, the governor laid out this week the details about her expansion of Medicaid. She hinted at it at her State of the State address. But the word is, Sarah, at the legislature from Republican lawmakers, the leaders, that this is DOA, dead on arrival.
Well, the tie between DOA and lack of health care for people is unfortunate. But the idea that I think Governor Brewer's plan is a good one. I think people should get on board. It deserves support. It is ridiculous to turn this money down because it's not like it's just going to go into a safety vault someplace and not be used.
$1.6 billion.
Right. We have hundreds of thousands of people who don't have access to regular health insurance and health care, and it is criminal in my view, to allow that to happen when there is an answer that if we don't take advantage of it, our money is going to, you know, help people in Idaho, which I wish all the people of Idaho well, but I think we need to take care of Arizonans too.
And Dan, local hospitals and emergency rooms are at risk of closing if the legislature doesn't expand the state-run health insurance program to include more people. At least that's what the hospital officials who have teamed up say about this.
And, you know, I know that the Republican leadership in the House and the Senate, they want to say that it's DOA, but I'll tell you, I think things can change there pretty rapidly. This legislature is certainly more unpredictable than ones in the past. I've seen bills that I thought would sail through that are stalling out. There are some more moderate Republicans in those caucuses. I think at some point the pressure may happen that the hospitals are saying, listen, if you want health care in these rural areas, you're going to have to figure this out. And when people are faced with the ideas of hospitals closing, Governor Scott in Florida, you know, these very partisan governors have given up or made the pass on it. Governor Christie, I mean, they're still your outliers, but I think it has to happen. I don't understand how the legislature can close without this happening.
It's a practical measure. I mean, Brewer says she's been against the Affordable Care Act very vehemently, but it's the law of the land, and you have to operate within the law, and it's a smart thing to do.
We'll see what happens. Sarah Garrett-Gasson of The Star, thank you very much. And Dan Gibson from The Weekly, the editor, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Have a happy St. Patrick's Day. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
This is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. Here's what our customers are saying about us.
They always go above and beyond to make sure everything is just perfect.
Nobody does it better than Arizona Party Rental.
They are one of the most professional group of people I've ever worked with.
They maintain high standards and deliver five-star service.
Arizona Party Rental always comes through with a smile.
Their selection is amazing, their advice terrific, and their service is remarkable.
Thanks a lot, everybody. Hey, you can join the party, too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you, completing more than 500 projects and creating more than 2,500 jobs since its inception in 2006. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1-, 2-, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
It's time for Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, brought to you by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. Boy, it's going to be hot in Tucson, but nice and cool in the mile-high elevation of Silver City, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Lots of nice, very nice places to stay in the area, including Lake Roberts Motel, Buckhorn RV Park, and the Cottage of Whispering Canyon. Check out more about Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico at southwestnewmexico.org. Time to welcome in Matt Russell, who is all decked out in a green leprechaun outfit, complete with a plastic green derby hat. Matt Russell, the award-winning Tucson publicist and Inside Tucson business food and beverage columnist. Matt, that outfit has got to go.
You know, it's the only thing I can get away with it this weekend, Bill. If I were to wear this in July, people would really be questioning that.
Oh, my goodness. And then I know you were debating it was between that and the all-green jumpsuit.
There's but, always tomorrow.
Yeah, they'll always expect something for you there at Russell Public Communication around the holiday time. Matt, as you know, Tucson, lots of new restaurants opening, and you can chalk up another one.
Yeah, how many weeks in a row, Bill, have we been announcing the opening of a new restaurant?
Many weeks.
Well, the new one this week is called Penka, which has just opened at 50 East Broadway. And Penka says its dishes are inspired by the flavors of Mexico City, where the owner is from, which means lots of roasted chilies and fresh vegetables, as well as house-made tortillas and salsas. It's all available for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but Bill, since it's Friday, we're talking happy hour. So head down to Penka later today to try their wide variety of tequilas and mezcals. Viva Penka!
Yeah, do a kind of a Mexican St. Patrick's Day at Penka. And that leads us, of course, to St. Patty's Day. The great Guinness Midnight Toast coming up.
Yeah, our St. Patty's Day's plans are going to officially kick off on Saturday night, St. Patty's Eve, at the Hotel Congress downtown. There's going to be live music and Irish whiskey tastings and corned beef sliders. But when the clock strikes 12 midnight, guests are going to participate in the official toast to St. Patrick's Day with a group raising of the glass of Guinness Stout. So they're really firing on all cylinders this Saturday night at Hotel Congress to usher in another delicious St. Patty's Day.
Yeah, and when you show up in your outfit, they're going to think you had one too many old Bushmills or maybe pass me another Jameson's. I don't know. What is your St. Patrick's Day pick now that you're all decked out, ready to go?
Yeah, well, Bill, as you know, Pastiche Modern Eatery over there on North Campbell closes every March 17th, but the good news is that something quite delicious opens up in its place just for the day, and it's called Patty's Irish Pub. Now, owner Pat Connor's grandparents were both originally from Ireland, and this special menu features dishes inspired by their own secret recipes. So, of course, you're going to find the traditional corned beef, but you're also going to enjoy some blood sausage and some grilled lamb, and how about some oatmeal-coated trout. But also your favorite, Bill, every year, the traditional Irish soda bread.
Oh, I love it. You know I do. Heat it up, put a little butter on it, and you're ready to go.
We're talking. It's all day and night on Sunday at Pastiche. I mean, at Patty's Irish Pub. It's going to be fun.
All right. Look for Matt Russell and Inside Tucson Business, the current issue out today. Matt, have a great weekend. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Right back to you, Bill.
Thanks. All right. Matt Russell. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is provided to all of our in-studio guests. They're offered a bottle of Culligan water, and they gladly accept it. And who wouldn't? The Culligan water, it simply tastes better. Give Culligan water a try. Coming up this afternoon, 3 to 5, the John C. Scott Show, then Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe, and my friend Phil Cedar kind of gets the expert talk going here on the weekends on Saturday on KVOI with his gardening show. Phil will be telling us all about now what is suddenly hot weather gardening. The Buckmaster Show, a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, on behalf of our team, my producer, who is getting over a nasty cold, but she's still lovely and very talented, always there for us, Rosemary Brandt. I'm Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.